Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 75th Venice International Film Festival, and I'm very pleased to be joined by filmmaker Sameh Zoabi.
Thank you
very much for joining us.
Thank you.
And of course, you're presenting the film Tel Aviv on Fire, so it's wonderful to meet you and talk with you about this film, but would you be able to maybe introduce it for our listeners who may not be familiar with it yet? Just say anything.
It's a film, it's my second feature film. It's a film that is very hard to describe because it's a film inside a film, but it deals with a production assistant who worked on a soap opera, and after an encounter with an Israeli soldier on the checkpoint, the soldier wants to know the end of the show. And the guy who delivered, you know, the main character, Salam, promises an ending that he can never deliver. And everything that could go wrong almost happened to him, and a lot of good things along the way as well.
It's quite a unique story, I think, but I just wanted to know a little bit more about the use of soap operas in particular within this context, this narrative context, but also geographical and political context.
Well, soap operas are very popular in the Middle East. I mean, I think they're popular in many countries, but I know in Latin America, and because they produce a lot of them as well, and I grew up watching them myself and my family, and it's a big thing.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing else. I mean, if my mom is watching a soap, I can't turn the channel. So it's, we grew up with one TV in the house. So she controls the remote, and I have to watch whatever she's watching. And what's interesting about soap is of course, the overdramatic acting, the dialogue that is very straightforward, that can tell you exactly how they feel, what they think. It's almost very theatrical. But what was interesting for me is many people perceive that overacting to be real. Like, if you watch a cinema movie, it almost feels not real for them. And that kind of balance between two different style of acting and what's real, what's not, it's always been in my mind. And until this idea came of the film, and I said, oh, let me create my own TV show inside the movie and play with the idea. And for me, what interested me in soap is the ability to politically have sense of freedom to tell a story and be as political as I want, and find that without being judged, because it's the soap after all.
Yeah, and like, you almost take it for granted. It's a soap opera. It's only a soap opera, but I think in this film you also see that it does have that power to communicate with people, and sometimes it can be a dangerous sort of power.
Absolutely. I mean, it does communicate. There's a lot of stories of... I remember a funny story. There was a Turkish soap opera, very, very popular, and it was a love story, and it's about a married man who's in love with another married woman, and he was bringing her flowers every day, and it just, people were talking about how romantic it is, and it created a culture of men trying to imitate and these kind of, so it does have an effect on people for sure. And for me, I used it as a way to reflect reality, but also how soap and reality sometimes can mix in the story, especially when it comes to the Palestinian Israeli. It almost feels like a saga that it's happening, and every time we keep hearing the same thing, the occupation, the Palestinians, the checkpoints, the Israelis, all of these terms kind of repeat themselves for such a long time now. It starts to sound like a soap opera.
Yeah.
And I said that, I tried to use that in the film. Where is it going to end? The soap operas never end.
It's interesting that you mentioned the Turkish soap opera, because I'm just reading Snow by Orhan Pamuk, and he does mention the sort of popularity of soap operas and how interesting it is to just observe that and the effect that it has on people. But I think it's also stories in general, because if I can just maybe point out a particular moment in the film where with the hummus, and that is from a can. I'm not going to reveal too much, but it's, and the way in which to make this hummus appealing, which would otherwise not be appealing, is just, have a little story. It's from a shop that is only in, from a neighborhood that's only open for 2 hours. From a 90-year-old shopkeeper. Like, if you have a story that to back anything up, it changes everything. It gives meaning to something, right?
Absolutely. And for me, it's been a struggle to get, the narrative out.
Yeah.
The Palestinian narrative out. The Israeli narrative is there, I think, more popular than the Palestinian one, in a sense, because we only start making movies recently, in a sense. So it's like there's a struggle of narratives, in a sense, that is fighting everyone to justify their point of view. And it's just not just with the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. It's in general. People always struggle to define their narrative in the world, to bring it to the front line.
But is it particular to films, or is it something that you can see in other art forms?
Absolutely, in every art form. Every art form has its own way of expressing, the narrative and the story. And it just becomes how much you can appeal to people and how much people can actually believe the story that you're telling and get engaged with it. I mean, this has always been the challenge of storytelling, is do people actually connect with your characters or not? You know, if someone was not in that place, you watch a movie like set in South America, or you've never been there, or in India, or in the Middle East, but you've never been there, will you be able to connect with the character, understand their dramatic thrust in the story or not? So it's always a challenge, no matter what you do as a filmmaker, is to create that space where an audience is there with the moment, experiencing it as it folds. So
I wanted to ask you one more thing. I think we only have time for one more question. There's a lot that I could ask you, but the thing that I wanted to know is that obviously this film also deals with some delicate themes, but what I really admire, and I always feel like pointing out, is the fact that you can kind of laugh at some moments and there is a sense of humor to it. Is it something that also interests you, you know, to have that sort of release?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, comedy in film, especially for me, it's something that I've been, growing with. I mean, my first feature was a comedy. Okay. As well, and it dealt also with the Palestinian Israeli, Palestinians living inside Israel, and it was comedic tone. And another film that I wrote that was directed by Hani Abbasad, who did Paradise Now, about the singer from Gaza, that also tried to write some scenes that has a humor even in Gaza. And this one is kind of evolved naturally with this style, and the style is very simple for me. It's not like I want to try to make comedy and it's a tactical decision how to do that. I feel like it's more natural. I grew up in a small town that people laughed about everything. Life is very difficult and you have the political situation, the unrest and all of this, but people's spirit is always to keep things up, and humor is one way. I mean, you sit, you talk about a bad story, but then there's always a punchline. My family is like this. Every single one of them is like, you can't stop laughing about even sad things. It's just... So I grew up in that reality. So for me, to make comedy, it came natural. Like, I have to connect with the character. I have to know what character I'm writing. And comedy comes out of it. And this one, I wasn't struggling with finding situation. I think it was a lot of fun. It's fun to write, too. Huh? To be in that.
It's fun to write?
Yeah, it's a great fun.
So? Yeah.
It's great fun to write a film with the hummus jokes and stuff. There's something someone says is like, the darkest moment can bring that kind of light of humor. And I think, I always go to what is the worst case scenario and how could you get out of it with a punchline of humor? And that's good for me. Like, okay, there's this situation, where can I get out but make a laugh in it, along with it.
Is that also true for real life?
Yeah.
I sometimes do that too.
too.
I always tell the story of like my family. I have my uncle, he was dying, and he died for smoking too much. He was smoking like 5 packs of cigarettes, and everyone knew that he was going to die, and even his older brother was there. He was like 80 years old, my older uncle. And he's like, enough already. Just, let's end this. What is your last wish? And he says, my last wish is when you bury me, make sure you have a tube going to my grave. And if every time you come visit me, puff some cigarettes for me. And he died the next day. But
did you do it?
Yeah. I mean, but it's like, but it's that kind of that kind of humor that I grew up with. I can't help it. It's a family craziness.
On that note, I'm going to have to end it there. That's a lovely story. Thank you so much for joining us. It was a great pleasure.
Thank you very much.
And once again, I remind our listeners that the film is called Tel Aviv on Fire, and that this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.